All right, our reading will be taken from Psalm number 30, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. Oh, Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me in life, me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Oh, yeah. Sing praises to the Lord, oh, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to put your device down, grab your neighbor by both hands, look your neighbor square in the eye. We got hand sanitizer all up in the windows. So if you're all stressed out after you grab them, look at them. It's going to be good. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor square in the eye as you grab him by both hands and say, neighbor,
you benefit
in having
the Lord's
help.
Neighbor,
you benefit in
having
the Lord's help.
Amen.
You may be seated. We have entitled our sermon this morning, you benefit.
Thank you, Jesus.
In having the Lord's help. Now, we have to look at this psalm. And as we look at this psalm has been identified as a song of dedication of the temple of David, meaning that when David built his house. You know, some of y'all in here built houses. Some of y'all in here, when you bought your house that you live in, and before you walked in the doors, you just stopped and looked on the outside, and you thanked and praised God. Because folk don't know where you've been. All they can see is where you are right now. But when we look at this particular psalm, Reverend Rose, the thought that's behind this is that David never really talks about in this psalm about anything being dedicated. What David wants to convey to those who were there and convey to the readers, which we are, is that in this life, you're going to have some trials and tribulations. And through having those trials and tribulations, going through those storms and going through times where folk have already written you off and said what you would never be anything. Others have looked at you at that moment and called you sorry. Others have looked at you in that moment and say, why are you even wasting your breath and your time? Because nothing will come good out of you. When I look at this man, David, at this moment, David himself reflects on his own beginnings. Him being the youngest of 8 sons. And when word got to his father Jesse that Samuel was coming to anoint one of his sons, he did not consider getting the one that was out watching the sheep, because he figured it was going to be one of the others. So in so many ways, David felt like the outcast. David felt like the worthless son. That all he was ever going to be good for is watching over some sheep. that Samuel went through and God kept telling him no, 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 told him no 7 times. And he's looking at Jesse like, wait a minute, is there another son? Because God done rejected all these. Yeah, I got that one out there watching the sheep. Well, we ain't going nowhere until he make his way here. Some of us have might been considered outcasts. Some of us might have been looked at differently because of we didn't do the stuff other folk did. And because of that, we've been labeled as being good for nothing except what we're doing at that moment. And that we can't ever broaden our horizons or reach and do great things because of the fact that others have defined us and we've listened to them. We got to stop listening to what others say about us. Look at your neighbor right now. Say, neighbor,
neighbor.
I don't care what you say.
I'm listening to God.
You see, one of the things that we're seeing here is that Samuel had to listen to God. He would not go nowhere until David came. He anointed David and told him he would become the king of Israel. I can see his other brothers chuckling. I can see his father shaking his head. I can see David standing there in amazement and say, out of all these others, you mean he chose me, the ruddy one? Yeah, I might be a little handsome, but I ain't big and broad and bad like my other brothers, but you chose me. So I think in so many ways it was somewhat unbelievable to him. And then he is the one who goes and he fights against Goliath. He slays Goliath. And then all of a sudden, poof, brother takes off. And then all of a sudden he becomes a general in an army of Saul. And we're seeing that as the Lord's anointing is coming to fruition. We're seeing that every time he goes out to battle, he comes back and he defeats the Philistines. And the maidens, when they see him and Saul coming back, we see the maidens say, Saul kills his 1,000, but David kills his 10,000. I want you to understand something. That didn't sit well with the king. The king at that point got real frustrated and annoyed. I want you to understand when the anointing is on your life, others will see the anointing on your life. Some folk will embrace your anointing and other folks will reject you. Other folk will try to step all over you. Other folk will try to knock you down. Other folk will try to silence you. Other folk will try to make you sit down and shut up. But there's something inside of you that just won't allow you to sit down and shut up, because you know you didn't get this far all on your own strength. You have come this far because of the strength of the Lord. You're able to do what you do because of the strength of the Lord. So I don't care how many haters are out there. You just keep on keeping on, because guess what? Folk gonna still be hating on you, but that's all right. I'm gonna keep praising God. Do I got anybody who understands how important it is for me to just continue to praise God? I don't care what you say about me. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care anything you say about me, because I'm gonna give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because I've come this far, not on you. I've come this far because of the grace and mercy of our God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? This is where the plot thickens. Because once Saul saw the response of folk to David, he immediately made David his enemy. And David had to go on the run. The daughter that Saul gave him took back, attempted to kill him, and couldn't figure out how his son wanted to continue to befriend a man who would be the one who would take over the kingdom if he's allowed to. But Saul is trying to stop that. But Jonathan sees the anointing. Jonathan sees God's hand on David. And he recognized that I can't go against the will of God. So, y'all, David was on the run. So when we look at this particular psalm, David talks about when he was on the run. David was one time in a cave. And Saul came into that cave to relieve himself. And Saul had outside with him thousands of troops. And David has his little ragtag bunch. And his little ragtag bunch says, kill him, David, kill him now. We're tired of running. Kill him. Yeah. David said, I can't touch God's anointed. God's got to deal with him, not me. But in doing that, David would not, y'all, take the easy way out. But the one thing that David realized, that through all those trials and tribulations, let's look at verse number 1, because based on what I just shared with you, you see in verse number 1, he says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. So in essence, what David is saying, I will give you a high praise. Because the only reason why I am still here, when there was 10,000 plus folk looking for me, and I'm hiding in a cave, and they didn't find us, God, is nobody but you. When we were out there not knowing what was going to happen, Lord, you kept me safe. Anybody ever been in a situation where you didn't know if you was going to get out? And it seemed like everything is crumbling all around you. And the only reason why you are here today is because the Lord has drawn you up, that the Lord put his hedge of protection around you, because the Lord has blessed you. Isn't that why you're in God's house right now? Because you recognize that God deserves your high praise, because it was nobody but the Lord who allowed you to be here when other folk were trying to knock you down and wanted to rejoice over you. God said, that's a lie. That ain't happening up in this place. God said he got you. And guess what God did? Hadn't he brought you so far? But look at this. And this is the key. Look at verse number 2. Because he says in verse number 2, O Lord, my God, I cried to you for what? And you what? You have healed me. And if that wasn't enough, he said, oh Lord, you brought me up, brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life among those who had gone down to the pit. So what David is saying, in every instance up to me looking at this temple being built, some folk thought this temple would never be here, which is the house I was going to live in, because of the fact that some folk thought I would be snuffed out a long time ago. Some folk thought that the world would get the best of me. Others thought that I would be chewed up and spit out. Some folk thought that I would lose my mind by this time. Other folk thought that I would not make it to where I am right now. But look where I'm standing. I'm standing looking at the house that God has blessed me with. And when I look at this house, all folk are able to see is the now. But I want them to understand that there's a story that led up to this point. You see, what I want you to know, every child of God up in here has got a story. Some stories are more lengthy than others, but we all got a story. It's all because that on our own, we couldn't make it. Because on our own, haven't all of us tried to make it on our own? And as we tried to make it on our own, how far did it get us? How successful were we? But the one thing that changed things around for us is when we called on the name of Jesus. When we cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I can't do this without you. Lord, I'm a sinner in need of your grace and mercy. Lord, I believe in my heart and I confess that I believe that the Father raised you from the dead and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. You've got my best interest at heart. Your blood has cleansed me of my sins. I am a new creation. So, Lord, I'm going to cry out to you. You know why we cry out to the Lord, y'all? Because there's benefits in having the Lord's help. You might call Brother Bob Light, but he can't help you. You might ask Brother Doorway, but he can't do nothing for you either. You might ask Sister Speaker, but she ain't got the time for you right now. You can ask Sister Carpet, but they can't help you right now. But what I want you to know is when you call on the name of the Lord, you benefit in having the Lord's help. Isn't that why we up in God's house right now? Because we recognize that we benefit in having the Lord's help. Because I don't know about you, if you haven't had anything go on in your life, keep living. And I want you to know that you're going to call on his name. And when you call on his name, I am so thankful that he forgets about how we messed up on yesterday. And say, I got to help you out on your today. And I want you to understand that's called nothing but God's grace and mercy. And if God hadn't showed us grace and mercy, there's not a one person up in this place that could be up in here. The one thing that we have to be careful of is having an entitlement syndrome. All right, of thinking because of your faithfulness. You're entitled to certain things. Because of your faithfulness, I know I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. But what happened here with David is just the opposite. The more that God blessed him, the more humble he became. You know why? Because he knew where he started. He knew where he was. And he knew it was nobody but God who opened doors that no man could shut. It was nobody but God who protected him from danger seen and unseen. It was nobody but God who healed and delivered him. It was nobody but God who made a way out of no way. You see, so the more that God blessed him, the more that he realized, I got to give God the praise. But when you understand how good God has been for you and to you, you recognize that you just can't keep it to yourself. You got to share it with somebody else. You want them to know, as you know, that we serve a God who is a way maker. We serve a God who is a healer. We serve a God who is a deliverer. We serve a God who maintains us and sustains us. We serve a God who makes a way out of no way. We serve a God who opens doors that were shut. We serve a God who brings light to darkness. We serve a God who will be there with us through thick and through thin. We serve a God who sees us at our worst but still gives us his very best. We serve a God who knows all about us but still loves us in spite of all that we've done. Do I got anybody in here that understands how good our God has been to you, what our God has brought you through? Because what he says in verse number 4, he says, sing praises to the Lord, O ye his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Those who are going to sing praises to him are his faithful ones. And those who are going to give him thanks understand that he is holy and that I must praise him in his holiness. And you see, because David realizing that it ain't about him, it's nobody, it's all about God. And even though he knows all that God had done for him, he couldn't keep it to himself. He wanted others to share in it, because the same God who's been bringing him through is the same God that's been bringing other folk through. And then that's why he gets to verse number 5. And he says, for his anger is but for a moment. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Yeah, I've sinned. You see, some of y'all ain't like me having you to say that. Some of y'all probably mumbled it to the person next to you. You've sinned. I've sinned. And we still sin. But I'm praying that we learn how to sin less. Sin angers God. Did y'all hear what I said? The problems that we incur because of our sins are the sins that we commit and then don't want to confess. We don't want a man up. We don't want a woman up. We try to blame everybody for why we sin. If they ain't cut me off, I wouldn't have cussed them out. Amen. If they wasn't talking about me, I wouldn't have did whatever, whatever, and whatever. Y'all see how that list can go on? Brother Aaron, the thing that we have to realize is that God does not want to stay mad at us. Because if God wanted to stay mad at us, check this out, Jesus never would have come. Oh, somebody gonna get that. If God wanted to stay mad at us, Jesus never would have come. Jesus came to let us know that the Father does not want to stay mad with us, but he wants to show us favor. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. God, I'm praying that you give somebody a breakthrough right now, because there's somebody who is focusing on how folk are mad at them and think God is mad at them the way they have others mad at them, and that God doesn't think like man or woman. God thinks like God. And all God is saying to you, that I'm not happy about your sin. And yes, your sin makes me mad. But if you confess your sins, I want you to know that I'm faithful and just and will forgive you of all unrighteousness, because you come and confess your sins, because you gave your life to my Son. And as you do those things, then I want you to know that I want you to understand that it is not going to last long. For his anger is but for a, his favor is a. Now hold on to that, because check out what he says. Because of our situations, our sins, there are some things that cause us to weep. Weeping happens to all of us. Privately or publicly. Now the reality is, what caused you to weep? We can go on a list of things that cause us to weep. And even as we go through the list, Reverend Herndon, I want you to know we're going to miss some. So ain't no need for us to go on through a list, because you know what caused you to weep. David knows what caused him to weep. And while he was weeping, it felt like it was so dark that the light would not shine again. You ever felt that when you, what you were going through or what you were dealing with had you weeping so much, no matter how bright it was, it felt like it was dark to you? Folk don't know your story. They don't know all that God has done for you. They only know what you share with them. And some folk can't handle it, so you better not share it with some of them. But as we're looking at the things that have caused us to weep, weeping brings a cloud of darkness. Because sometimes we're weeping because of the stuff that we did. More times than not, that's what causes us to weep, is the stuff that we did. But then there are situations where things occur in this life that were unexpected, and it causes us to weep. But what David wants you and I to understand, because you know what David's saying, y'all? I've been there. You see, now he's not writing this as somebody who's just trying to say words that sound good and tickle your ear. David is telling you about his own life story up to this point, Brother Billy. He's letting you know, up to this point in my life, I know what it's like to weep. I know what it's like to be weeping and it feel like you're in darkness. When Saul was hot on his track with all them troops and he wasn't sure if he would see another day, there were times that brother would just weep. Because of the fact that he didn't know whether or not he was going to get through this situation. Lord, you told me I was the anointed. Yeah, I've been anointed to become the next king. But Lord, it don't look like I'm going to be a king right now. What it looks like is I'm about to be a dead man right now. The situation is showing me that just the opposite of what you say. But what I'm here to tell you, when once God has spoken over your life, I want you to know that it will come to pass. I don't care how rough it gets, it's going to come to pass. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. It's already on the way. You see, I want you to know it's already on the way. It might not look like it right now, but it's going to come to pass. It might be dark right now, but it's going to come to pass. All you got to do is continue to keep your hand in God's unchanging hand. Do I got anybody that knows what I'm talking about? I got anybody that been in the darkness? I got anybody that had to weep because it felt like it wasn't going to get any better? check out how he words this. King James says, weeping may endure for a night. Right? New Revised Standard says, weeping may linger for a night. So the key here is this. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this too shall pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, you're saying this to somebody, but you don't know what they're dealing with right now. You don't know how they might need to hear those words right now, because it's going to linger for a moment, but this too shall what? And you know what David is saying is that, you know what, it might seem like a forever, but it ain't for a forever. It's going to come to pass. And it seemed like while Saul was tracking David down, it felt like forever to David. It felt like it was never going to get better. It felt like it was never going to improve. It felt like he might not see the light of day again. He just didn't know. But you know what, that's why he talked about it like this. And it moved him to that situation. But I want you to understand, though, David understood that you benefit in having the Lord's help. And in order for you to benefit in having the Lord's help, you got to cry out to the Lord. You got to call on the Lord. You got to pray to the Lord. Don't just think that God is going to come and do something. God want to know, do you trust me? Do you love me? Do you believe I can make a way for you? Do you believe I can bring you through it? Do you believe I can turn it around? Do you believe I can open the door? Do you believe I can knock down the wall? Do you believe that I can heal your body? Do you believe I can bless your family? Do you believe I can make a way out of no way? When you understand all that, you will cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me! You benefit in having the Lord's help. Say to your neighbor, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why are you going to keep letting that stuff push on you? I ain't going to hit you too hard, remember? Push on you. The Lord is the only one that can stop it from pushing on you. There you go. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. There's some stuff that's kicking your butt. And the only reason why it's kicking your butt, because you're not calling on the one who can make it stop. You benefit in having the Lord's help. You might have to weep for a minute, but it's only going to linger for a little while. But the one thing I want you to understand is that after that night, it says there's a punctuation. And that punctuation is a comma. A comma, when you're reading, is letting you know that that's the time when you can take a breath. Somebody gonna work with me. Whenever you're reading and you see a comma, that gives you a chance to... The comma allows us to take a breath. So now that I see the comma, I can what? Take a breath. And that's why David says that while I was weeping and going through all that, God put a comma in there so that I can take a breath. And as I take that breath, I know that I'm right now getting ready to what? Turn the corner. Because whenever you hear the word but, that means I'm not going the same direction. I'm about to... So what am I telling you? It's time for you to take a breath and turn the... And the only way that's going to happen is when you call on the name of the Lord. You benefit in having the Lord's help. And David says, joy comes with the morning. Now what is he saying? Is that no matter how dark your situation looks, when you take that breath, call on the name of the Lord, he's going to turn the corner, and he's going to bring light to your situation. And I want you to understand that, Deacon Clark, when light comes, darkness has to go. Because darkness cannot coexist with light. And whenever you bring light to a situation, darkness has to go. And what he here is telling us is that you might have a lingering moment of nighttime, but I'm here to tell you that joy is coming in the morning, and that joy will last you for an eternity. Because what I want you to see is go back to the beginning of verse 5. He says, for his anger is but for a weeping may linger for the night. That's like just a moment. Right? However, his favor is for what? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got God's favor. And it ain't going in. Do you see it? Am I making this up or did you just read it? Did I make it up or did you just read it? And once you understand that God is showing you favor, every now and then you might have a lingering moment, but that's all right, because I'm going to take a deep and I'm going to turn the, because I know my Lord will make a way when I call on the name of the Lord. Why? Because you benefit in having the Lord's. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? What's been kicking your butt that you could tell it? Call on the name of the Lord and it had to stop kicking you. What is it that you're allowing to linger in your life, but God is saying, when you going to ask me for help? You know, when I was a little kid, you know, we used to watch the wrestling stuff. Y'all know that wrestling stuff, right? When I was a kid, it was interesting, right? And you know, and digging out, would you know how that you know, you and especially when they had the tag team, one is holding on to the rope, and one's inside fighting, right? Well, they ain't fighting. We know it's all pre-stage. You understand what I'm saying, right? But it seemed like, you know, while you're getting the best of the person, you want to stay out there longer, right? Ain't that right? But once that person starts getting the best of you, the person on the rope is holding on, calling you to come on and reach out to them, tag them so they can come and get you up out that situation. You see, I want you to understand, y'all, that God is in our corner. He's waiting on you and I to come in and reach out to him, cry out to him and say, Lord, I need your help. But he wants to come and tag you and get you right and get you up out of that predicament. But he can't get you out because you ain't willing to reach your hand out and say, Lord, I need you. Who in here today is God giving you a breakthrough? Who in here today is God saying to you, it's time for you to tag out? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to tag out. You see, I want you to understand, God wants you to call on his name. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Stop trying to do it yourself. You can't fix it. It's bigger than you. It's better than you. It's stronger than you. So the only way we're going to get through it, we have to call on the name of the Lord.